Jazz 91.9. It's Atlanta's Jazz Station. Hey, good morning to you. 10:20. This is Morris in the Morning in for a little while for Reva Blue, who will be coming up shortly. But I tell you what, it is my honor and a great privilege to welcome into the WCLK studios none other than the fantastic George Benson. Good morning, George. How you doing this morning?
All right.
Yeah, you had your coffee, so you're ready now. Huh?
I'm ready for a good Atlanta morning.
Yeah, and so far so good, right?
Yeah, a little early for me, but it's great. The music is incredible. Your station is fantastic.
Well, thank you for that. And you know, I tell you what, you're fantastic as well, which is why we're so excited to have you for our 40th anniversary. That's big.
I think so, man. I almost moved here years ago. I'm almost sorry that I didn't. Because every time I come here, I'm always glad to be around and see how things have changed and to see the success of the city and all the big new buildings, great hotel I'm staying in. So Atlanta is very progressive, and I like that.
Yeah, and being a native of Pittsburgh, this is like day and night, huh?
Yeah, it's a little different. It reminds me of Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. Got little hills here and there, mm-hmm. here in Atlanta. Our hills are a little steeper than yours, but there's a lot of similarities.
Okay. All right. Now, of course, you've been real busy, I'm sure, touring, but you have an opportunity now to really let Atlanta experience, George. You were here last year, I think, over at the Fred.
And yeah, that was a quite interesting gig outside.
Yes.
I got a chance to walk around that great park because their location there is really outstanding. You know, you see a lot of nature. Mm-hmm. And the way the place was designed, you know, you can step out anywhere at any time and you're right in the middle of nature. So it's great.
Yeah. Now, to be a 10-time Grammy winner, you know, that says a lot. It speaks volumes. And one thing in particular I think that is just so fascinating is the technique that you use when you play the guitar. Some, I think it was Reinhardt, it's kind of similar to like a gypsy style playing. Explain that a little bit.
And it's, I'm glad to hear you say that. I've borrowed a lot of things from a lot of different players. And one of my favorites is the flamenco players. Mm-hmm. When I'm in Spain or in France, there's a lot of gypsies that come to my gigs. Mm-hmm. And they bring all of that wonderful stuff with them, and I borrow some of it and sneak it into my playing. And it works very good. Variety, to me, is truly the spice of life. And it's a great spice to have in music, you know, to be versatile.
Yeah, you know, and even as a youth, you were playing the ukulele. I guess that, you know, that kind of coincides a little bit as well, huh?
That was the beginning. It was an incredible thing. My stepfather met my mother when I was 7 years old, and he played guitar. And he knew that I wanted to play guitar, but my hands were too small. Mm-hmm. So he found a ukulele in a garbage can. It was all broken up. And he glued it back together, and he put four strings on it, and he taught me about 2-3 chords. Man, a week later, I was out on the street corners making money with that.
Wow.
So I had good ears way back then.
Okay. And we're talking very young, like what, seven?
7 years old, yeah.
That's incredible. Now, out of all the songs that you have, and, you know, I did a special playing some of your greatest hits, and it was amazing how you have so many. I couldn't get them all in 1 hour. But is there a particular... let's say, era that you particularly enjoyed more so than the other eras?
The album I did, interestingly, is an Earl Clue song called Living Inside Your Love. I think that album explains more about my versatility, mm-hmm. and the thing that has given us the popularity that we enjoy was that album. Mm-hmm. And in that album, I think we had a love ballad.
Yes.
And man, I loved that song. When I, Jeffrey Osborne, I didn't know his name then.
Wow.
Although we had met years ago and I didn't remember it. He said, George, you know, after I finally met him when we did the song, uh-huh. I always loved the song, uh-huh. Love Ballad. Uh-huh. And of course, I didn't want to try to copy him because you can't.
Right.
His voice is so unique and so romantic and big, you know. So I said, I'll do it differently, but I am going to do this song. So we found a way to do it. Took us a year of rehearsals. My band got mad because I wouldn't play the gig, you know, play the song on the gig. He said, man, why do we keep rehearsing this? You know, my bass player, why do we keep rehearsing this song? I said, okay, we're going to play it tonight. Mm-hmm. And man, it burnt the place down. And we were outdoors at about, I don't know, 15,000 people.
Yeah.
And we played it for the first time. And I said, now it's ready to go into the studio because it broke the crowd up. So we went in the studio and recorded it, and it was a big success for us.
Wow.
And I said that because when I met Jeffrey and finally became friends when I found out what his name was, because he was LTD then.
Yeah.
That's all we knew.
Sure.
And I said, what's the name of the lead singer? And I finally met him. He said, George, you don't remember this, but we met when you and I were very young. He said, I was a little bit younger than you. He said, and I came to a nightclub. We were up in New England somewhere. Mm-hmm. And there was about three people in the place. Mm-hmm. And he had a friend with him, so that means we had one person other than Jeffrey and his partner.
Sure.
And I said, yeah, I remember that. I was only up there once at that club.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, well, I was in the audience that night.
Wow.
And his brother was known as a great drummer. Billy Osborne was his name. He's the one who, I think, formed the group. And their lead singer left, see?
Wow.
And he quit the group. And he said, that's all right, let him go. He said, my baby brother can sing. And he brought in his baby brother, Jeffrey Osborne. And he wasn't lying.
Wow. That's a great story. I know there's so many other stories that you have. And that's the one thing. When you've been around as long as you have and it's been as successful as you've been, I'm sure you've encountered a lot of stuff. What else interesting I think folks would like to know about you?
You know, they make a comparison to me with a lot of guitar players. And, of course, I love guitar players because they all remind me of myself searching for things to play and trying to master techniques. Different. And they always ask me about Norman Brown.
Mm-hmm.
I love that young fellow. When I hear him play, he does remind me of myself, not because of what he plays. I know that he got a few things from me, don't get me wrong. That's what we do. We borrow, like I borrowed from Wes Montgomery and Kenny Burrell, Grant Green.
Yes.
And so he got a little bit of my stuff in it, but he is a master of the guitar.
Yeah.
And I'm very, very proud of him.
Wow.
So one day we were together. We did a concert in Washington, and he had his family with him. And my son's been traveling with me for years on the road.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, hey, George, I got my daughter here. And he said, I want my daughter to meet your son. And I said, yeah, for a second. And then I said, oh, wait a minute, no. I said, no, I don't want that. I said, because my son fall in love with your daughter, and then Norman Brown kills George Benson. No, that headline ain't going to happen.
That's funny. And, you know, Norman has just moved here to the Atlanta area as well.
Man, that's a good one. Can't be nothing but soul here. This place is loaded with soul. The music I hear has a great vibe. It kind of permeates the city in the air.
Yes.
It was like that in Detroit years ago. Detroit used to have the great radio.
Yeah,
the best in the world at the time, you know?
Absolutely. And I grew up in Detroit, and I agree with you on that.
So that's why you down here. That's why this music is so great. You inherited it, man.
You know, my dad, man, we grew up listening to you from you to Miles, to Thelonious Monk, you name it. We did it all. And one of my favorites was Jack McDuff, who you also started with as well.
Yeah, he took me on the road when I was 19 years old. I was not really a guitar player yet. I was aspiring to play. I used to go to jam sessions, and they'd always chase me off because they didn't like what I was playing.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
because
I was new, I was fresh. Yeah. I finally decided, hey, man, I'm going to try to play some jazz, you know.
Yeah.
So I'd go, and what would happen was the women would see me, and they said, sing something, Georgia, because that's what I was known as, a singer.
Uh-huh.
Sing something, and the guys at the jam session hated that, you know.
Sure.
So I was not welcome at the time.
Uh-huh.
But Jack McDuff took me on the road. He heard me play, and he called his manager and said, man, I found this kid, and he's only, he said, how old are you? I said, 19. He's only 19 years old. I'm bringing him to New York. And then we left town the next day, and he fired me that night.
Wow.
He said, well, I thought I was hearing something a little different. He said, but don't worry. When we get to New York, I got a gig for you. When we got to New York, his manager said, man, did you say you was going to fire this kid? And Jack said, yeah, why? He said, you can't fire him. He said, what do you mean I can't fire him? He said, your band sounds so much better than it did when you left here. He said,
yeah.
I suggest we go in the studio and make a record with him. And we did, and it was just a lot of fun, and the record was a small hit for Jack.
Yeah.
It began my career as a guitar player.
Sure. Well, we thank Jack for that as well. You know, and I tell you, to do what you do and to have been around as long as you have, you know, everybody works on trying to stay relevant. There are a lot of musicians who never go to the next level because they seem to get stuck with a certain type of sound, certain type of feel. But you've managed to be able to play with people like Boney James, and also keep your music really contemporary as well and up to date with what's going on now.
Hey, the young ones have, this is their world. They're the ones who are telling us what's going to happen tomorrow and the day after. Mm-hmm. So if you don't know what's going on in their mind, you're going to be left behind.
Yeah.
And interestingly, Boney James was one of a few people who sent tapes to my office, my manager's office. Mm-hmm. And we were doing a gig at the Universal Amphitheater, and he was one of the groups they suggested to open the show. Mm-hmm. I had never heard of him before, but when I heard his tape, I said, oh, it's good. Okay, we'll let him open the show. Yeah. When he got finished with his set, I had to let 20 minutes go by for the stage to cool down.
Wow.
So I knew he wasn't going to be an ordinary cat. Sure. So we gave him his first big break. Mm-hmm. And he's always been thankful. And he always lived up to the hype, what people call hype, you know.
Yeah.
We touted how great he was as a saxophone player. He had good colors in his music, you know. Mm-hmm. Nice sound, very soulful. Mm-hmm. So that's an interesting part of my career. I'm very proud of him.
Yeah, and you know that's good, though, because it happened for you with Jack, and you pay it forward with people like Boney, and I guess that
adds, and Earl Klug.
And, you know, we got to give a shout-out again, another Detroit guy, to Earl, who lives here in Atlanta as well. And as a matter of fact, I tried to call Earl to see if he could come by and say hello to you as well.
He's not an easy guy to get on the phone. He's very quite reserved.
Yes.
He's always been that way. Very mm-hmm. quiet, mm-hmm. but very powerful quiet.
Mm-hmm.
People mm-hmm. mistake Earl's subtleness.
Yeah.
They don't realize the genius inside of him.
Sure.
He's always been a harmonic genius. And he studied with a man who studied with Andre Segovia.
Mm.
So he had master teachings from the very beginning. I remember him talking about his teacher when I first met him. He was only like 16 or 17 years old. Mm-hmm. And I invited him to do the White Rabbit album with me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And because his manager was on me all the time. George, take him out of here and make a star out of him. I said, wait a minute, I'm not a star myself yet, you know.
Yeah.
But I said, I'm going to put him on this new album. And I took him to New York and we recorded White Rabbit. And I asked the producer, I said, man, what do you think about this kid? And he couldn't hear the genius in her. I said, well, don't sign him then. Because if you don't believe in him, you wouldn't. This wouldn't be the record company for him.
Right.
I found George Butler. And George Butler, he was a friend. I said, Earl, come to New York. Let's make some tapes. I had a studio in my house at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And we made some tapes and we sent them around to different people. Mm-hmm. And George Butler called me on the phone. He said, George, I just got a tape by this kid named Earl Klug. I said, no, the name is Clue.
Right, right.
He says, but he says he's African-American. I said, yeah, he is. He said, no, the guy I'm listening to is not African-American. I said, yes, he's African-American, man. And he says he's 19. I said, he is, he's 19. I said, send for him. Send him a ticket. Next thing I know, I got a disc for me to do the liner notes for. He had signed a contract with him.
Wow.
And put out his first record, went to the moon, sold hundreds of thousands of albums. It was a phenomenal. If it wasn't for Breezin, that year would have been an Earl Klug year.
Wow.
Because he was the next cat for numbers on record that year.
Sure, sure. Mm-hmm. And the Breezin, of course, was triple platinum. And that's huge during that time as well.
It's true. Now it's about 10 million copies wow. worldwide.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was quite a phenomenon. It changed my life, changed the way the world looked at us,
mm-hmm.
and it gave me more of a vocal status
yeah.
where I was known mostly for my guitar work, and people accepted it, accepted me as a guitar player. It took me all my life to get that kind of acceptance, and now it's going to go back the other way, right? But rightfully so, because it was a great song. The producer begged me to do the song. I didn't really want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And when the record started being so sounding so good as an instrumental, he said, you know that song I gave you? We're not going to put a vocal in this album. I said, what? I've been rehearsing this thing for weeks.
Yeah.
I said, man, let's do it one time.
Right.
So we did one take only.
Yeah.
And when Bobby Womack came in, because he was getting ready to record Breezin' with me,
mm-hmm.
we sent for him. He came in and he said, hey, man, who in here's got a voice like that? And they said, that's George. He said, but George Benson is a guitar player. And they said, yeah, but he's also a singer. So we knew we had something special because we kept getting those kind of comments.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that is really some good musical fortitude to really say and believe in yourself to the point that you know what you can do. And I guess that kind of goes along with artists that are out here now. Instead of letting the record label determine the direction you should go as an artist, you should stay true to what you believe in.
I've always fought when I stopped fighting hard, things changed. Because too much of their ideas and not enough of my own. People know when your heart is in something. They can feel it. Mm-hmm. You know, there's something that happens mm-hmm. that translates through the air, mm-hmm. and they can feel when you're sincere. And when I stick to my guns on things, like the song Love Ballad.
Yes.
I fought with the producer. He said, George, the song is called Love Ballad, and you're doing it in tempo. I said, have you ever heard the original version of this? He said, no. I said, that's why you're saying that. Because mm-hmm. if you ever heard that cat sing that from LTD,
yeah.
you wouldn't be saying what you're saying, you know. And so if you let them, he told me later, he said, George, when you and I used to fight in the studio, you know, for this, that, and the other, and you used to fight for this, he said, we always got hits. When I stopped fighting, the hits were not as big.
Wow.
So he said, man, keep that fighting spirit, man.
Yeah.
Fight for what you believe in.
Wow. That is just awesome. It's been an absolutely joy to be able to talk to you this morning, George. And the thing about it is that oftentimes folks get a chance to hear your music. They may see you in concert, but to be able to hear some of the thoughts from you and for you to be as genuine and open as you are, it really means a lot. And a lot of folks really show appreciation for that as well.
Well, I learned to love people because I meet them from all over the world. And, you know, to hear them pour their heart out to me about what my music means to them is gigantic.
Yes.
Things I never thought I would, you know, go through in life. But it sure has helped to shape my thinking and my sincerity to what I'm playing. And gave me a whole new outlook on music.
And with somebody that has as much experience and as much knowledge and 10-time Grammy winner, I think that this is a moment in your life where you should put a book together. And I understand you're doing that.
That's true. It's taken me 13 years to put all my thoughts down. We couldn't get everything in the book, but I think we got some very interesting anecdotes in the book that will interest people. It's coming out in July.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I want to call it Mr. on Broadway.
Yeah.
Because the song just opened up the whole world to me, you know. But it's going to be my autobiography.
Awesome. And rightfully so, and well deserved as well.
Thank you.
Well, again, George Benson, we have enjoyed talking to you this morning. And I got to tell you, we are so excited about having you for our 40th anniversary. I mean, this is going to be a big concert. We've been talking about it, and it's finally here. And you're here, and the city of Atlanta is waiting on you. It's going to be incredible, and we can't thank you enough.
Man, thank you. The honor is mine.
And I tell you what, you know, you've mentioned the Love Ballad song. You know, I don't know, you kind of read my mind, but that is one of my favorites, okay? You have so many, many favorites of mine, but this one in particular is really one that hits home. And I'm sure with all the songs you have, I mean, when I was doing the greatest hits of you, I had so many requests for White Rabbit. I had requests for Moody's Mood, even your latest stuff, Exotica, which is like a really big song here at our station. But we're going to do Love Ballad, okay?
All right.
All right. Is that all right with you, George?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, let's do it. And again, thank you so much for stopping by, okay? And we'll see you tonight. Hey, you're looking good too, George. I want you to know that, man. What you been? You been doing push-ups, huh?
Yeah.
And some crunches too, right? Uh-huh. All right. Well, let's do it. Celebrating 40 years with George Benson tonight, Cobb Energy Performing Arts Center.
Have never been so much.